Brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We'll have our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Our buddy Scott Mitchell will join us here. Jay's in action tonight down in Minnesota. Kevin Gausman on the mound. Gausman's been great this year. And they're going to need an outing from him. They're certainly going to need an outing from him and need the bats to come alive, you know, to put it lightly. So Scotty will join us here in a moment just to get a read on what we're thinking going into this weekend. And Dear Hazy B later in the hour, right?
Dear Hazy B. You need a win, Hayes. I think in hockey you could, and Noodles, you could probably attest to this. Like, if you need to get out of something, probably need your goalie to have a night. You know what I mean? And in baseball, you can look to hustle and smarts along the bases and tidy up and this and that. But if your pitcher doesn't give you a chance, you're pretty much screwed.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's what I think Phillips was saying yesterday, or Griff, that this team has invested so much in their starting rotation. Like, that's how they've built out their plan here, is paying Gausman, is paying Bassett, is paying Barrios, paying Kikuchi. The guy who's not getting paid is Manoa, and he's pitching as if he's not being paid. But they've invested so much money into these guys with the anticipation that they're going to get 6 or 7 innings out of them. You know, and they've all been healthy, but no issues there. It's not like there's a banged up rotation here,
right?
And Scotty was detailing it, like, there isn't also anyone knocking on the door that you'd bring up that you'd feel comfortable putting into the rotation right now.
Think about what you just said. All that money, and you're dying to get 6 or 7.
Yeah,
wow.
That's modern baseball for you, though.
I know, but it's just insane to even hear it.
Well, your bats can bail you out too, right?
Yep.
Even if you get 4 or 5 out of your starting pitcher and it's just an average game, how about your bats bail you out? And, you know, everyone's been cold with a few exceptions. So you need something. Now, you got 20-1 the other day, but then you follow it up with a loss. So you can't have all of the bats come alive at once and then everything else goes south.
Like anything else, Jamie, everyone has just got to man up and play better. It's not like the position players are making chump change. Hayes mentioned the starting pitchers. You got to reach down and find something different and play better. It's non-negotiable, as the Tap Man says, and do it.
Yep.
It's pretty simple, man.
That's right, and the lineup card is out. You know, Springer's back. He's back in right field. He's hitting leadoff tonight into Bichette, into Vladdy. Chapman hitting cleanup. You got Belt in the lineup playing first tonight. Vladdy's going to DH. And, you know, Kirk's behind the plate. Danny Jansen's now in the IL for 10 days. So they're calling up a minor leaguer who will see some play. You're not going to run Kirk out every single day. But Kirk's got to get going. Like, a big part of the program last year was Kirk being dialed in at the plate.
Well, that's what made Moreno
expendable,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
Kirk's young and he's good. And Jansen's not got as good of a bat, but good defensively, good with the pitching staff, and when he's hot, he can bring something to the plate.
Yeah.
But not the case, man. Yeah, not the case. So Scotty's coming up here in just a moment. You guys want to play this Barkley audio?
You know,
we've been teasing it here. Barkley, he can get away with this because everyone just acknowledges whatever. It's hilarious. Like, I'm not sure he realizes he got it wrong.
No,
that's what I kind of love
care.
About this.
He doesn't care.
But I think he feels like he nailed it here. listen to Charles last night, you know, throwing a shout-out to the goalie down in Florida.
And I'm going to just tell y'all something. Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie for the Panthers. Mr. Barkov, congratulations. But Matthew Tkachuk, we are not worthy.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Let me hear it again.
Sergei Bobrovsky.
Play it again.
Sergei Bobrovsky, the
Sergei Bobrovsky. A Bobka.
Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie for the Panthers.
Cinnamon or chocolate?
It's so awesome,
Bob.
But you read the comments below. They're like, this guy doesn't get NBA names right. Are you expecting to get NHL names
wow.
right?
Do you remember when he had the Jonas Valanciunas thing? Like, he could not say the guy's name.
No. And that, to be fair to him, that's a tough one. Valanciunas took me a while too. Like, when they drafted him, I'm like, all right, I got to get this.
Honestly, him and Matt Cause could have a competition. Like, because Cause is not far away. Any kind of complication in the name, this guy does a butcher job like you've never seen.
He butchers a name. But what I love about Barkley is, like, he doesn't care, but I think he feels like he actually hit that one. Like that, he made contact with that name.
Was Sergei Bobovka, the goalie for the Panthers?
It's not a home run, but I found an alley somewhere, right? Like, it's close enough where people are like, all right, I'll give you that. Yeah, good contact by Charles. Good at bat. You know, he saw a lot of pitches and made the pitcher work. Kevin Gausman on the mound tonight. Jays are not in a good place, right? It's a storm here. It's a dark cloud hanging over this team. They just went 2-9 against the American League East, Yankees, Orioles, Rays. They dropped 3-4 against the Rays. Now Danny Jansen's on the IL. Here's our TSN Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. Is that a fair description of what's happening here, Scotty? They're in a dark place. Like, there's a storm, and they're going to have to find their way out of it here.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. You know, there's not a lot of positive things to say about this team. So, you know, I usually come on here and kind of, you know, be the voice of reason, or at least try to. But, yeah, I got nothing for you right now. It's been some ugly baseball over the last little while when, you know, they can't pitch, they can't hit. And, you know, when essentially your ace has regressed into a below replacement level pitcher, you know, it's really tough to find positives with this team right now. The only thing I can say is it's May. We've seen this happen before across baseball, and, you know, I think this team's talented enough to get it together, but, yeah, you know, they're just not playing great baseball in every facet, and it's very concerning when you see it against, you know, the teams that you need to do that against, and, you know, it's just hard to find positive things to say. So when you see this team, you know, kind of limping into the month of June potentially, you know, I think this is a very important month of baseball, and I would say that's probably, you know, the first time I've said that in the last few years in the month of May, because, you know, it's still early, but you just can't play like this when it's a World Series type season. You got to prove it, and they haven't done that.
Well, and also the nature of the division they play in, right, Scotty? If this was happening in the AL Central, they might be favorites still to win the division, but it's not, and they're chasing 14. They're not going to catch the Rays, so you're talking wild card or bust, it feels like, already the end of May. I don't think it's premature in saying that. So you're chasing it with Baltimore and New York and Boston and Houston, and like it's going to be a grind, and I think they acknowledge that. The question is, what comes out of the acknowledgement? What comes out of the closed door meeting? What possibly changes tonight? Who do you have your eye on?
Yeah, no, I think you know that on the head. That's where the equation has changed for me, really. When you look at, you know, go back to February, March, whenever we talked about, you know, this season and what could happen, you know, I still think this is a 90-plus win team in the end, but the equation is different because there's so many good teams, not just in the division, but in the American League in general. When you look at some of the changes teams made over the winter, you know, the Texas Rangers look like they've really improved. They look pretty for real. You look at the LA Angels finally, you know, potentially maybe having enough around Trout and Ohtani to get to the playoffs. And, you know, you got to figure those teams are going to be super aggressive at the deadline as well. And then, yeah, that American League East, you know, that's where the equation has changed for me. You know, this team's allowed to play bad baseball in May and go on a skid. That'll happen to every single team. But, you know, it's just a different landscape right now. And yeah, you mentioned who my eye is on. I mean, you know, not so much with this lineup. I think they're going to get it together. I think, you know, the Dalton Varsho trade, I remember, you know, coming on in December and really loving that one. And, you know, he's been a little bit of a question mark for me just in terms of some of his at-bats, the way he looks. And, you know, defensively, they've absolutely changed the dynamic of this outfield. It's one of the best defensive outfields in the league, and that was their goal, and statistically it is. But, you know, this team just doesn't seem to have the same sort of punch offensively. It's a good offense, but I don't think it's a great offense. And again, I don't know that that's going to turn when you look at, you know, some of the at-bats these guys are having, some of the names in this lineup, just not a lot of depth right now. And, you know, that's where I sit. I think the pitching is going to be okay. I think they're going to add, you know, over these next 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever it is leading to the deadline. But, you know, if this not offense isn't elite and covering up some of the mistakes, you know, I think that's a problem.
Scotty, the three of us being former pro athletes have been involved in some closed-door meetings, and we understand what goes on. What do you take away from them? Like, what do you think they walk away from, like members of the media? What do they think the players walk out of that building with?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think, you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into them in baseball. You know, these guys are together every single day for so much time, and it's you know, on the plane, in the clubhouse, and you know, I'm there, I see it, they're sitting around talking about stuff. So I think for me when they go through these things. And there's been a couple noteworthy ones over the last number of years. I remember one at the end of the 2016 season with Troy Tulowitzki and those guys as they were kind of spiraling. And I think it just kind of pulls the group together and says, hey, look, you know, this is a good baseball team. We need to figure this out. And I think when you have certain voices, and I know Matt Chapman was one of the, you know, more prominent voices in that closed door meeting the other day. And I think when you have certain guys step up and say, hey, look, you know, this can't happen in May, I think it really makes the young players listen a lot. And that's what this team has, or this front office has tried to do, is bring in guys that have been there before. And I think we're going to see, you know, how valuable those guys are in the clubhouse if they can snap out of this slump and turn things around. Because, you know, the last few years, it's been a number of young guys, and I don't think they had that, you know, type of veteran presence that would, you know, close up shop and say, hey, look, we need to talk about this. We need to figure the things out. Some of this is unacceptable. And I think they've got a couple of those guys in that clubhouse, and I'm curious to see, you know, if they can snap out of this quickly, you know, after that meeting.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of why they brought in the Kiermaiers and the Belts, and why they have Chapman, and why they're paying Springer what he's being paid. And, you know, maybe Danny Jansen was one of those voices. He's not a grizzled veteran, but he's been around the team for a while. And now he's on the 10-day IL with a groin issue. They've called up a kid. He's coming up. But we all know Kirk's going to get some play here. Kirk, behind the plate, has had issues. At the plate, has certainly had issues. He's such an integral part of what they need. And this feels like the moment, doesn't it, Scotty? Like, he's got to get cooking. He's got to work better with the bat, whoever's on the mound, in terms of keeping runners honest. You can't have 7-for-7 stolen bases like we saw yesterday. But he's got to get cooking at the plate, and that could be a big part of what could turn things around.
Yeah, no, I mean, that goes exactly back to what I said a couple of minutes ago about, you know, some of the depth on this team just not really contributing what you expect for the first couple of months. And, you know, Kirk's one of those guys. I mean, this guy's an all-star. This guy can absolutely rake. And some of the numbers are quite concerning with him. And look, I mean, to me, he looks tired. He looks a bit out of shape. He missed spring training for the most part with, you know, his baby on the way. And I think, you know, the part where you say, hey, it's just a slow start, you know, that's past now. And yeah, they're going to need him. And, you know, not only do they need him to, you know, be able to, like you said, control the running game, they need offensive production down in that lineup, because you can't just have Bo, Vladdy, you know, whoever it is at the top of that lineup each and every night, you know, being the one contributing. And, you know, we've talked about a lot of the issues with runners in scoring position. It's the 5-hole, it's the 6-hole, it's the 7-hole, because, you know, Bo's still been getting on base. And, you know, Kirk is such an integral part of that secondary offense here. And, you know, he just hasn't been the same type of player. And you look at the exit velocities are way, way down. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. He's got to obviously take the majority of the workload here, and we'll see how he handles it.
What's the next step with Manoah in your eyes, Scotty? Is it a missed start, or what's the game plan?
I don't know, man. Find Dionne Warwick. Find some sort of reverse voodoo doll. I don't know. I don't know what the fix is, and neither do the Blue Jays. You know, he's not going down to the minors just yet. One or two more duds, and I think it's on the table. And the issue is, and I tweeted this out earlier, there's just not a lot of options in AAA right now that make you think you're bringing up something that's going to be better than Manoah. You obviously got to factor in the, you know, the confidence drop. You send him to AAA and say, hey, look, we don't really believe in you anymore. Go fix it. And I know everyone goes back to the Roy Halladay thing, and, you know, there's lots of cases where guys go down, they figure it out, and, you know, come back up and look a whole lot different. And, you know, maybe that'll happen with Manoah. You know, I'm not so sure, but when you look at just all of the issues that are going on, this isn't just one thing. It's not just one quick fix with Manoah. It's a snowball effect, and really, I think the Blue Jays and Manoah are a little bit overwhelmed with how you get back on track when the velo is down, you know, the hard hit rate's up, you know, he's just not inducing any swing and miss anymore, because essentially batters are sitting back and saying, this guy can't find the zone half the time. I'm going to sit on something middle, and, you know, people are getting those pitches a lot, and they're doing damage with them. So, you know, it's been an ugly start, and you kind of see a glimpse here or there for an inning or two of, oh, that's 2022 Manoah, but the stuff just doesn't look the same, man. And until the stuff comes back, I don't know what the fix is.
Yeah.
Where are you at? Where are you at with John Schneider? He's had a tough couple weeks as well.
Yeah, you know what? Totally fair question, fair comment. You know, the botching the mound thing with Manoah was not a good look. You know, I don't really, you know, I think he owned it, which is great. You know, I kind of had a conversation with on the side with him after. I said, "Has that ever happened to you before? You know, even in the minors." And he said, "No, nah, man." He's like, "I'm pretty embarrassed by that." And the funny thing is, you know, Don Mattingly had the exact same thing happen when he was manager as well. So it's not the craziest thing in the world, but when you look at some of the you know, troubles this team is having with fundamentals, you can fairly put that on the manager a little bit. And you know, anybody talking about him losing his job right now, I think that would be an extreme kind of knee-jerk reaction from the front office. And I think the only thing you need to consider, you know, when people talk about that is they gave him a 4-year contract. I can't see anybody, you know, moving on after 40, 50 games of a 4-year deal in the first year deal. And, you know, that goes back to in the winter. I was kind of surprised that they committed to him for that long. But, you know, they've always believed that, you know, this is the guy. And, you know, I don't think a small sample size is going to change that. But, you know, it just hasn't been a good couple weeks for this baseball team, top to bottom, no matter kind of what angle you look at it, no matter who you look at, no matter what you talk about. It's not a lot of positive stories, and they need to figure it out.
Yeah, they do. And generally, it's not the manager that falls first. They'll look to the hitting coach or the pitching coach or whatever. And, you know, I don't think that's on the table either. But I wonder, Don Mattingly, like what was he specifically brought in to help with? And if you have that answer, Scotty, have you noticed any payoff with Mattingly being here?
I think he, you know, the thing with baseball coaching staffs, you know, everyone tries to provide a voice. And I think, you know, there's no arguing what kind of voice Don Mattingly provides when, you know, he was available and was interested in, you know, being a bench coach after being a manager. I think, you know, the Blue Jays were smart to listen and bring him into the fold. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw the commitment to Schneider. They didn't want people thinking that, you know, this was essentially a manager in waiting. So, you know, you give the 4-year deal, which is a very, very long-term contract to a baseball manager, especially while with no experience. You give him that 4-year deal, you make everyone feel secure. So I've never thought of Mattingly as a manager in waiting. You know, he moved on from the Marlins because he wanted to, and he wanted this role, and I think he's comfortable in it. You know, to quantify what he's doing, I think he brings just a voice and a presence that really wasn't on that coaching staff before. And it's interesting because I've had a lot of questions about, you know, Schneider botching that mound visit and saying, you know, wasn't Mattingly or Walker saying something to him when he was going out there and, you know, not deciding to take him out? So, yeah, it's an interesting coaching staff. I think, you know, the first kind of obviously opinion people had was he's here just to caddy for Schneider and take over when, you know, the inexperienced guy can't handle it. And, you know, I don't really see that, but I think he brings a voice. And, you know, with this team struggling, it definitely brings a different element to talk about.
Sure. Yep. And Jays in Minnesota tonight, Kevin Gausman on the mound. Enjoy it, Scotty. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our TSN Jays reporter. Yeah, there's a lot of eyes on the Jays, man. It's not a good scene. There's still a lot of ball games left. They're above 500, but they're in a bad place. Bad place right now. But they can play their way out of it, and you don't have to remember this if you get back into the hunt and, you know, get back into the playoff race. Mail in Friday brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio. All right, our best bet's still to come. We're tracking the Charles Schwab down at the Colonial. Not the best when it comes to our boy Michael Block.
Not the best.
Harry Higgs, not the best.
Harry the best. Hall on top of the leaderboard.
Harry Hall is, he's a player.
With his chapeau.
You see, Koepka didn't make it to the live event on time. Like, he's there, I believe, playing now. But he was supposed to be in there yesterday, and he had flight issues. So
he flies in a private bird.
Yeah. I think that's him telling Norman, like, don't even call me. I'll be there on the first tee, but anything beyond that, see, you can cancel my contract if you want. Like, this is the thing. He's got so much power now in live. Because, yes, he took the contract, and he's got to do what he's supposed to do.
I know, but if he starts screwing around, Hayes, they're going to say, you know, you're reneging on the contract. You're not getting the money.
Well, exactly. He may not have a problem with that, though. Like, think about, he just made so much money from winning the PGA Championship. This guy's already got a fortune. They've already paid
him. Okay, but other than the winner's check, where else is the money coming in from? It's not like the guy's being flooded with endorsements.
He's got some.
He's with Strixon.
And Nike. Like, Nike still pays him. He's still got Nike. He's got Strixon. I don't know. I'm just saying.
What did he sign for in Liv? What was the reported amount?
$125 million, I think, or $150 was the report.
Yeah. I'm guessing it would have been the same range as DJ.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I'm not saying he's trying. He's going to bail and leave. I'm just saying, you know, he can push back a little bit on what's, like, Norman needs him now. This was such a win for Liv that this guy just went on the PGA Championship and won. You know, if he shows up at the event, that's one thing. But Norman, like, it's a big get. You got Koepka. I'm just saying, like, if he could flush a couple of calls right now if he wanted to, and they're not going to do anything to him.
Exactly.
Nothing. That's all I'm suggesting. All right, Dear Hazy B still to come. We'll keep looking ahead to Jays Twins tonight, all throughout the weekend down in Minnesota. Our best bets brought to you by FanDuel a little bit later in the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio.
So then you asked yourselves, isn't there something more to life?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, well, let me clue you in on something. There isn't.
She said looks aren't that important to her?
Dear Hazy B.
By God, I got a couple of words for you. You better get your act together.
You guys know the routine.
I do.
And by the way, we've gotten a lot of positive feedback at TSN, at the radio side, for helping people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, lots of positive feedback, yeah.
What happens is people send in a tweet, they write us for our professional advice on life things. And let's start today with a two-time Olympic athlete, Uncle Matty Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
At Hughes Runs. Dear Hazy B, so my wife and I share the same birthday. This year she's going to a concert with her sister, but still wants to, in quotations, hang out for the day before she goes and floors it for the night. Should I be a good husband and hang out, or book 36 with the boys and gas her?
This man's
an Olympic champion.
Yeah, and he's got the heart of an Olympian. And listen,
a moose.
The heart of a moose. If you share, you know, your birthday with your significant other, then I'm assuming, you know, there's going to be a lot of years where you both, you know, combine for something, right? A combined party when you turn 30, 40, 50, maybe a trip. Hey, we're turning 50, we're going to Europe. Obviously, you're going to do that together. This year, clearly, it's different. She has taken the lead. Her and her sister, they have birthday plans.
Yep.
She made that determination. That means
I think that's a full green light for you.
Of course it is. I've been in this situation. We don't share the same birthday before. But I've had my wife and her sister. They've gone to concerts before, stayed in the city. I hooked them up, got them a hotel. But it was understood. I had the kids with me at that point, so I couldn't floor it that day. But the day before, I was putting a peg in the ground 18 times. And the day after, there was a tee going in the ground 18 times.
Yeah. And if you want to goon it up with your buddies at nighttime, fully allowed.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think
Noodles, you can come over the top turnbuckle if you wish. As soon as you mention the concert with the sisters, you are just handed a hall pass with a buzzing green light.
And it's your 100%. Birthday, too.
Yeah.
You're allowed to make your own call. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
Can't
do
go
what
wrong
you
on
want
your
to
birthday.
Do. I and if it's not a significant birthday, like, who cares? Mm-hmm. You guys can go for dinner the next night or two nights later or
that's
whenever
right.
you guys decide. It's grown adults with birthdays, it's asinine.
It's
like
weird.
Just move on.
It's
like
weird.
You know what I mean? Like it's unless it's a special birthday, just, you know, she's going to a concert. Go tee it up with your buddies.
Yeah.
See you later. And, yeah, let's do dinner tomorrow. Let's order in something special if we feel we need to celebrate our own birthdays. Like, it's a bit weird for me, but I tee it.
It's big. You know, I can't speak for everyone else. It's big. You know, my wife loves her birthday, and, you know, I try to make it as special as I can. This year happens to be a big birthday.
Right.
But for both of us, we're both the same age. I don't want anything. I don't want special treatment, special attention. I don't want anything. And that always makes it a little bit, it's not awkward, but, you know, I've hooked her up. She got a good birthday that I'm going to experience myself.
Hayes.
I don't want to get into it right now. I'll tell you guys closer to the date, but it'll be something.
Let's put it on the table. Every day should be, do whatever you want, I'll do whatever I want.
Well, that's not feasible, dude.
Dude,
that's
not it is. As long as you're not interfering. Like, if someone says, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be golfing on Wednesday, why not? Right?
Okay. Why now you're not? Speaking to you. I hear what you're saying, but let's not give advice that is going to take relationships right off a cliff. I mean,
dear Hazy B,
we're licensed here.
Noodles, I think you would be best equipped to weigh in on this.
All right.
Dear Hazy B, my medical board's exam is in 2 weeks. I've been prepping for a while now, but my good friend insists I tee it with the boys 2 days before my exam for his bachelor party. Things always get fuzzy with the lads. Thoughts?
Well, so he's talking, he feels like a two-day hangover. Would that affect his memory or something? Like, I feel like
him and his buddies are complete goons, and an 18-hole venture could turn into a 36-hour bonanza.
Yeah.
That's my fear.
But if he mentioned it. I'm going to say go with your buddies and enjoy yourself. Because you're prepared. He's been preparing for it for 2 weeks. Blow off a little steam before the exam, and so you're mentally locked in. A little review before the exam, and go in and nail it. But
yeah.
you can't just sit there and think, I've got to study. You'll live it a million times in your head before you actually get to the exam.
That's right.
Be prepared and enjoy yourself, and then go and kill that exam.
What did you say he was writing the exam for?
Medical.
Like, what kind of med? Okay, I guess it doesn't matter. But what, this guy's going to become a surgeon or something, or a doctor or whatever?
Dude, it says medical board's exam. What the hell am I? Some kind of prof where I'm going to dissect that? And then
I want to know. Because you know,
heart surgeon?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, generally people that are in that position, they are, you know, the cream of the crop in terms of being scholarly, in terms of being book smart. Right, like if you get to a point where you're in a graduate class, like of that nature in medicine, you can probably do that with your eyes closed and still,
dude,
like pass the test.
No kidding.
You know,
I know,
like, you're
some
so
talented
smart.
Doctors who floor it on a Friday golf game and do heart surgeries on Saturday.
Yeah, see, yeah. I wouldn't suggest that
we
necessarily.
Don't that.
Like, that's actually practicing. But this is like sitting down and write. And I've never been in this position, so don't get me wrong. I was not scholarly at all. Although of the three of us, I am way more educated than the two of you combined.
Yes, yes.
But if you've been taking these courses, you're obviously a very good student, you're very committed, you're very smart, you know you're going to crush it anyway. You know you're going to do it anyway. So get out there, tee it up, have yourself around, maybe hit the gas a bit early, okay? Hit the brake at 10:30, 11, pull the chute, see you later, get a shutdown in, and you'll
good
be
call.
Fine. You'll floor be totally
from
fine.
Noon till 9 p.m., and you'll be toast anyway.
And everyone will understand. Everyone will understand.
He said 2 days before. You can floor it right till the next morning. Then you sleep all day. You enjoy yourself. Have a review the night before. Good sleep. And then
you'll
go
fine.
After the exam.
Yeah, you'll
six,
be fine.
Six at lunch, saw the edge off, and he's good to go. Here,
exactly.
We have a rare occurrence here where a guy tempted his girlfriend, and she came on the top turnbuckle, and she actually sent the Dear Hazy Bee.
Wow.
Den sent in saying, my friend's girlfriend has a Dear Hazy Bee that she's had in the chamber for weeks now, but said it's for a special occasion. She won't give us any hints. With summer coming up and the boys being MIA, does she send it? or wait for the perfect moment to ask for help. Catherine comes over the top and says, be careful what you wish for. Dear Hazy B, my boyfriend and I are talking about living together, but I have a lot of assets. Does he pay rent or pay half of it and it becomes his too? If he pays rent, can I keep his penguin stuff off my walls? But if it's, in quotes, our house, I won't have any of my New York Rangers autonomy.
Ooh. Wow.
Wow. This is a fascinating discussion. The idea of two parties who clearly care for each other but hate their respective fandom, right? Like, this is this can really get crazy. Here's what I would suggest. Don't allow sports to drive a wedge into the relationship. I think you both need access to the wall, whether it's Rangers or Pens or any other two teams, because if it starts getting ugly where you say, you know what, I'm paying for everything, it's my place, I'm going to own everything, you can't do something, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
It's never going to work.
She's got to split their...
Like, you got to split it 50-50.
She has the assets, he's got to pay rent.
Has to.
Like, because that way it is, you're right, slice down the middle. So he can do what he wants with a wall, she can do what she wants with a wall, if you are both paying the same amount,
yes,
skin in the game. If you're dating and just moving in together, you both have to be on an
mandatory.
Even keel. Even
got to be even keel. Mandatory.
Let's put it on the table. He has to man up and treat her like a queen and start paying for everything. If I'm her, I say, I'm not moving in with your sorry ass if you're not paying for everything. That's the way it's got to be.
And I don't know if that's necessary.
I disagree with that.
I don't
you
think
know
that's
why?
Necessary.
Because there's so many successful women out there, too, that can, like, have their own stuff. So
right.
Why not?
Have
like,
their own assets.
She just said she's got her own assets.
I think he's
got
to step up. I think he's got to step up and take care of business.
No, but I think a half and half is mandatory. I will
half
say
and
that.
Half.
It's got to be a half and half. You got to make sure you're both on the same page. You know, both feel like you're invested not only in the relationship but in the home. It's got to be the case. Got to be the case.
Dear Hazy B, my wife and I made a simple transaction where she goes on bike rides with me and I go to her salsa classes where I'm the only guy. So the teacher does her demonstration with me. I'm a horrible dancer, so my wife and her friends make fun of me the whole time. How do I stop this? From Sasha Maximoff.
Well, I guess the answer is tell her she doesn't have to come ride the bike with you. I mean, isn't that where you start? Like, you're the one that allowed for the salsa to even be a part of your program by asking her to come for bike rides. Why can't you throw on a pair of headphones, go for a ride by yourself?
Why don't you just keep it like this? And I've said it before, you do your stuff and I'll do my stuff.
Right.
If I'm going to try to help out and you're making fun of me with your cronies, with your Jonas cronies at the salsa place, I'm out.
Well, and the invitation's there. If you want to bike ride with me, let's go for a ride. You don't have to, but I'm not coming, you know, to do the cha-cha or whatever. Like, that's not going to happen. And, yeah, I don't know why you put yourself in that spot. Like, if you want to learn how to dance, go for it. But if you don't want to be there and you don't know what the hell you're doing, you got to pull the pin, man.
I agree. I don't think if you don't want to do something, then don't do it. Like, I get sometimes couples say, hey, I'll do this for you, or you do this, but
try different things out.
If it's not a fit, you can be honest. If you have a strong enough relationship, say, that's just not for me. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I don't feel like you need to do that as well. Like, that's part of a partnership. Is not everything has to be, you know, it's black or white. You got to do this, so I got to do this. I think sometimes, you know, longevity is just going, that's for you, this is for me, and that's it.
There you go.
What about this one? Let's head out west with Cody Gunn, my guy. Dear Hazy B, I operate a restaurant in Kamloops, host of the Memorial Cup. We are about to be extremely busy for the next 10 days. However, I have tickets for every game. Do I be responsible and take care of the business, or should I floor it with my buddies and see what happens?
Ooh.
Wow, man, this is This is wild. This is kind of like the whole board exam. Do I floor? Like, it's a, do you act responsibly and, yes, miss out on a really fun opportunity, but it will really benefit you in the long run? Or do you say, screw it, man, my place, it's going to be all good anyway. Maybe you can kill two birds with one stone. And I think that is probably the response I would give to you. Every game does not seem necessary.
Yep,
every game does not seem necessary. In fact, I would probably put the group stage aside except for when the Blazers are playing, right? You want to be there opening night when they're playing, right? Kamloops going. You want to be a part of that. Fine. Beyond that, say, I'll see you in the semis. You know, I think that's your play. Kamloops, first game, and then semis and finals, only if Kamloops is in the finals, right? If they are, you want to be there. If not, pull the pin. There's, you can have your cake and eat it too here. You can be a responsible business owner. Make sure everything's moving because you know there's going to be a lot of money pouring in probably, and you want to be on top of that, but also live your life. Go have a great time. I think it's right there in front of you. Two birds, one stone. Few games. Other than that, you're at the restaurant.
Yeah, be responsible, but I also think, I mean, he has to know. I think Seattle's the favorite out there. Seattle's an AHL team, like legitimately.
Sounds that way.
Like legitimately an AHL team. I've been told by people out there that, that Thunderbirds could beat a couple AHL teams. That's how deep they are. So, I don't know. I mean, Kamloops is a good team. They went all in at the deadline. But I would go to a couple games. You can't go to all and just abandon your business.
No, come on. There,
it's a little bit of both.
Just
bit of
pick
both.
The right ones. Pick the big ones and have a good time.
The opener. You go see the opener. It'll be rocking in there, right? That's a great building. I've been in that building. Noodles, I'm sure you have.
Yes. Yep.
It's an awesome place. Awesome little town. Love
this Kamloops. One's serious, guys. And it's we have to put our best foot forward, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dear Hazy B, I broke up with my girlfriend after she said that her heart might not be in it. After seeing the pool of potential replacements, I've come to regret my decision. Should I deal with the consequences or should I try to get back together with the one I ended it with? From Jeremy.
Wow, this is heavy stuff.
Hazy, you got dumped a lot. Tell me. Tell him.
The move is to just keep driving forward, man. Like, here's what I would suggest to you. Friday night, I know you're probably sitting, sounds like you're sitting around your house by yourself, if we're being honest. Find the movie Swingers.
Why?
All right? Find the movie Swingers. Jon Favreau plays a very depressing figure in that, where he's in love with a girl who just doesn't love him back, really. And it's kind of what you're suggesting here. And throughout the movie, he's moping around L.A., and he's saying, I'm never going to find anyone better. There's no other fish in the sea. And then he meets Heather Graham at the end of the movie and realizes she is a rock star. There's a rock star out there for you. You just got to wait your time. It's probably not going to be right around the corner. Probably not going to happen this weekend. But you don't go backwards, my friend. You move forward. That is my suggestion. That's why Dear Hazy B is an award-winning segment advice.
I think as soon as she said her heart wasn't in it, you block her number, you block every avenue, and you keep trucking forward.
Yep. See you later. Your Heather Graham. Find your Heather Graham.
And no, you post any missile pic on Instagram, whatever you would like to do, to show her.
But he's blocked her already, so she's not ghosting.
Isn't that what it's called? You just ghost? I don't know.
He's got to take a stand. As soon as she said the words, my heart's not into it, that could be crushing to a guy like Jeremy, so you got to fight back. And you go on a heater, and you put the pedal down to the floor, and you get after things.
Yep, that's right.
I agree.
Find your Heather Graham. Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Awesome stuff. I think we helped a lot of people, and I know we just helped that young gentleman, who maybe he's got a party to go to tonight. Maybe he's got a bunch of people.
Jeremy, put your best bar tee on. Put some nice jeans on, whatever you got cooking, and get after things.
Go after it. Dress up like Eddie Belfour going into the Hall of Fame and absolutely pin it tonight and tomorrow. There it is, Dear Hazy B, helping people. That's why we do what we do. We don't want to do these segments. We feel like we have to do these segments. Right?
We're legally obligated now.
Yeah, we owe it to people. We really do, and we're trying to help. And I think we did. And that helps me sleep at night, knowing we've helped a lot of people. So there you go. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel still to come. We'll look ahead to a busy weekend in the world of sports. And I guess we'll make a call. Do we expect any news by Monday on the Leafs when it comes to GM coaching situation? What about the Raptors? They're going to have a head coach in place by Monday. Come back and look ahead to that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Make the Jays respond tonight. I think they respond. I think Gausman has a game. I think the bats come alive. I'm going to take the Jays by 2+ on the road tonight. I think they respond. I think they win, possibly big. Springer 2+ hits tonight. That's my SGP for the game. Jays 2+, Springer 2 hits, because that's the guy you're looking at, right? He's batting lead off. When he's like doing what he does best, he steps up to the plate. He's hitting home runs in the first inning. Like, how often did he do that in Houston in his first year or two here in Toronto? Step up when need be, set the pace, right? Put runs on the board immediately, and that's paying +407. So I like it. I'm playing that
pretty
tonight.
Simple, Hazy B. Ray Ferraro says it. The best. You got to put your big boy pants on.
Yep.
Got to have them. Got to have them, and that's what's coming out of your best bets. Brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. So if we look ahead to Monday, future headlines. We used to do future headlines all the time. Are you expecting any news from the Leafs? Any news from the Raptors? It doesn't feel like they're in a hurry.
We got to, by the way, we got to bring future headlines back, give it a spin one Friday.
Sure.
But I think we are going to have to deal with headlines on Monday. That's why I think we should be very pumped up for Monday, and everyone should tune in and listen.
Is that right?
Ooh.
Okay. All right. Well, there you
go. I'm not saying I have inside knowledge, but I would tune in on Monday.
Is that right? What are you talking about here in terms of, like, news?
I just think we're going to have, let's say, news and notes to discuss.
Okay. I like it. All right. So there you go. By Monday.
Yeah, as long as it's not tonight they announce at 7:05 something happened and we've been
sitting here. No, and I'm not talking about Michael Block withdrawing from the Canadian Open. I'm talking we're going to have big news to discuss.
Okay. Ooh. Well, we might have the Stanley Cup playoffs or finals set by then. Right?
Yep.
If Dallas can't win Game 5, we might have the NBA Finals set. If Boston can't win Game 6, Michael Block's not pulling out of the Canadian Open. Like, never in a million years. He's coming
up. He's probably pretty down right now, though.
He is. I'm sure he is. I feel for the guy. Yet, you know, he had a great... I actually think he'll be a lot better at the RBC Canadian Open because he's coming off such a whirlwind. He's so popular. He's doing all these interviews. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's back there on tour, and it goes south for him. And I think he regroups, and he'll be better in a couple of weeks. That's what I expect.
Agreed.
That's what
I
hope.
Well, he can get his – I mean, all accounts, he's taking pictures while he's walking up the fairway. Like, he looked like a distracted golfer, right?
Big time.
Like, now he can get all of that nonsense out of the way. Maybe some of those requests have kind of dropped off a little bit because, you know, of how it went. And then he can relax and play up here. And we'll be supporting
him. We'll be rooting for him.
We'll be right there.
We'll be there rooting for him. We'll be at Oakdale, too, right? We can't wait for that. Mailin' and Fridays brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio. That's what Block needs. Fly up here and hang out at Boston Pizza.
Yes.
All right, go find the patio downtown or wherever it happens to be and just take it easy. Take it easy. Weather's beautiful up here. Hopefully it's beautiful for the RBC Canadian Open. It looks like it's supposed to be. It's going to be a great weekend. Pool weather, patio weather. It's go time. Go
Maybe
time.
Maybe that's what we can do next week for Dear Hazy B. We could do representation of athletes. Like somebody could have sent a Dear Hazy B claiming to be Michael Block today.
Ooh, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. There you go.
Or I'm Alek Manoah. I'm on the mound. I'm really struggling. So it's like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like a role play level of concern. It's a role play Dear Hazy B.
Yes.
Right? We're just going to marry all these different bets. Bring headlines back. We're getting crazy.
I love it.
All right. We're out of here. Great stuff. Everyone behind the scenes, we appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in today and all week. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at?
Duffy was a loser in high school. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/TSN Plus to learn more.